Thank you, Pastor Tom. And before we get into our message this morning, I just want to thank you for the privilege of sharing with you. It is a privilege, as you know, in these times, to be able to share with people face to face. And I know some of you are online as well. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity. What we want to talk about today and wrestle with a little bit is the topic of hope. And specifically, biblical hope. We want to talk about what it is, about how and why it affects us, and why the world so desperately needs it. And as we get into that topic, the first thing we need to do is to define hope. And some of you may be saying, well, that's not really necessary. I speak English pretty well. I know what hope means. Hope means when you're wishing for something good in the future, but it's not certain. Sort of like if, you know, picture little Johnny. Little Johnny is 9 years old, and he wants a new bicycle for Christmas. Red one, Canadian Tire. He knows exactly which one he wants. Tells his parents, says, here's what I would like for Christmas. And his parents give a good parent answer. They say something noncommittal like, well, we'll see. And now Johnny is hoping for a new bike. He really wants it. But there's no guarantee, no certainty that he's actually going to get it. That is our modern concept of the word hope. But that is not the biblical use of the word hope. In the Old Testament, hope is always associated with God. And it expresses confidence. Not necessarily in a specific future outcome, but it expresses confidence in God and his ability to do what he has promised, both now and in the future. So, for instance, in Psalm 62, the writer says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. So he is expressing hope in God. But then when he talks about God, he doesn't say anything wishy-washy or maybe if. The words are rock, fortress, not shaken. So in the Old Testament, hope expresses confidence in God. Hope is a term that comes up many, many times in the New Testament as well. Paul is constantly talking about hope. And the fascinating thing is, when he talks about hope, he talks about it with a certainty and a joy and an anticipation that is surprising. In fact, he says in Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint us. And that always puzzled me. Because I thought, well, how can hope not disappoint you? Then hope wouldn't be hope, it would be a certainty. But really, that's in essence the point. Biblical hope carries with it much more certainty, much more assurance. How can Paul say hope does not disappoint us? Well, in Ephesians 1, he says this, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So what he is saying is God has placed the Holy Spirit in you, and that Holy Spirit is a promise, it is a guarantee that says, I will do what I am going to do, and you have an inheritance in glory in heaven with me forever and ever. You can be assured of that. And because we have that assurance and that guarantee, we can hope with tremendous certainty. If we use an analogy, think of it like this. We mentioned Johnny, our little 9-year-old, just a moment ago. What if Johnny had told his parents, I really want a bicycle for Christmas? And Johnny is helping his mom unload the groceries a couple of weeks before Christmas. He's a good boy. He's emptying the car out, and he's putting the bags onto the dining room table. And as he puts them on, he sees a receipt poking out from among the bags. And he's curious, and he looks at it, and it's from Canadian Tire. For a red bike. Now, he doesn't have the bicycle yet, but his hope for that bike now, totally different. He knows. He knows he's going to get it. Now, he's a good boy. He doesn't say anything to mom, but now when mom says, hey, would you please shovel the driveway? You know, it snowed 3 feet yesterday. He says, sure, mom, no problem. He's happy to face anything because he knows that he's going to get that bike. That picture is much closer to the biblical anticipation that is wrapped up in the word hope. We do not yet have the fulfillment of all God has promised. We are not yet in heaven, but through Christ, the bill has been paid. Tim Keller puts it like this. Biblical hope is life-changing certainty about the future. Being certain about the future in a way that affects how we live now. So biblical hope is confident expectation of the good that God has in store for us. And the ultimate fulfillment of that good is going to be with him in glory forever. And there are times when we desperately cling to that hope. When we face some tremendous trial, maybe a devastating diagnosis or a tragedy. And maybe there is someone here in the audience today that is at that point. And maybe there is somebody online that is at that point. You are facing something that you never had imagined. Cling to that hope. Your hope in Christ is not in vain. But the reality is that for most of us, most of the time, hope and the yearning for glory in heaven isn't really a major topic. Why is that? Well, because for most of us, most of the time, life is pretty good. We're doing all right. We live in a great country. We have lots of food. We have nice homes. So heaven is something that we look forward to, but it isn't something we yearn for. Sort of like if Johnny in our illustration already had a bicycle. You know, it's green and the paint is peeling a little. It's a little squeaky. He would like an upgrade, a nicer bike. But if he doesn't get it, well, you know. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, what if Johnny in our analogy didn't have a bike? He also didn't own shoes or socks. And he had to walk 5 kilometers to school every day. Can you imagine the anticipation, the hope for getting a bike that he would have? How different that would be? Now, I don't want you to assume that I am comparing heaven to a new bicycle. Okay, I recognize it's just an analogy. Heaven's going to be way better than a new bike. But it gets that idea across. What if you knew that you were getting something and you desperately needed it? The people we've worked with in Asia for the last 15 years have lived through some very, very challenging times, and hope keeps them going. They cling to God and to his word. Last year, at roughly this time, we were doing a training for church planters in our country in Asia. And they had come from all over the country, and so they didn't know each other. And the facilitator thought, well, I should, you know, do an icebreaker, you know. And so he would said, well, you know, what I would like you to do as an icebreaker so we can get to know each other is everybody share your favorite book of the Bible. Remember, they're all evangelists, so this is a safe question to ask. For your favorite book of the Bible, and why? Why is this your favorite book? And they gave answers that I would expect. Psalms, you know, it's very poetic. It speaks to my heart. And then an older evangelist, I remember him quite clearly, stood up, said, my favorite book of the Bible is 2 Peter. I thought, 2 Peter? I mean, great book and all, but favorite book in the whole Bible, 2 Peter? And the facilitator said, well, that's very interesting. You know, he's very polite about it. That's very interesting. Why is that? He said, because when I was in jail, it was the only part of the Bible I had. Wow. And so these people who are going through fiery trials cling to God and to his word, and their hope for heaven and for glory and for the future keeps them going. The persecution in that part of the world is getting a lot worse. Michelle is going to share more about that in detail in a little bit. But the government has made it very clear it is their expressed desire to wipe out the house churches. Christian workers are facing regular intimidation and threats, and one pastor from our city was recently sentenced to 13 years in prison. Being harassed and facing that kind of constant threat is something they face all the time, and to a degree we faced it as well while we were there. And since leaving there, People have said to us, well, you must be so glad to be out of there. And yes, yes, it wasn't easy and we are glad, but there's a part of us that yearns to be back there. It was hard to leave. Why was that? I'll tell you. Because we experienced in our local brothers and sisters what I can only describe as infectious, genuine Christian hope. When they talked about their hope in Christ and their hope of heaven, you can see the passion in their eyes. They have a desire to share about Jesus Christ because they love him and they know him and they just want everybody to know, even though they know the risk that is involved in sharing Christ in that country. Their hope rests in passages like John 16:33, which says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. These Christians are able to face the challenges of life because of the hope of the gospel. It carries them through, and it is that same hope that carries us through the valleys of our lives, and we praise God for that hope. But what if you're struggling? What if you're facing trials or pain and you have no hope and you have no certainty of a present loving Father walking with you, no security of an all-powerful God guiding you through life, no excited anticipation of a future in heaven? The pain of that kind of hopelessness has come into pretty sharp focus because of COVID. COVID has shaken people's foundations. I found it very interesting. I happened to walk by a magazine rack last month. I only have a black and white copy. McLean's magazine. It's a concrete, and then somebody scrawled on it with charcoal or crayon or something, and it took a picture of it. Hope. There is a need, a desire, a yearning for hope. People have realized because of COVID that which I trusted in to give me stability and security and all the things that, you make me know I can make it through, all of a sudden those things can be gone. My job could be gone. I can't even visit my family. I can't travel anywhere. And it has created for many people a realization that, oh my goodness, what am I building my life on? We have hope to share. People are longing for that sense of certainty that things will get better, that this life isn't all there is, and that God is in control and that he loves them. We who know Christ, who do not need to despair, have hope to share with this world. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, and do it with gentleness and respect. Peter is saying, look, the hope that you have in Christ is to change your life in such a way that people see it and they ask you, hey, what's the reason for the hope? The world is crumbling. There seems to be strife and difficulty everywhere. We're in the midst of a pandemic, and yet you seem to be doing all right. In fact, you even have joy. How is that possible? Explain it to me. Peter says, when people ask that question, be ready. Be ready to give them an answer. This COVID pandemic is an opportunity for us to share the certain assurance of our relationship with Christ and the hope of eternal glory. And it is that drives missions. See, the pandemic has brought into focus for us here in North America something that much of the world lives with all the time. Insecurity. A sense of hopelessness in many parts of the world. Not just during COVID, but all the time. And much of the world has no way of knowing the hope of Christ. Much of the world has no way of finding out that there is something better that God has in store for us because of Jesus Christ. That is why you support missions. That is why you support people to go out and take the light of the gospel to the dark corners of the world. We are blessed, not just because we live in a fantastic country and have nice homes and enough food and clothes to wear. We are blessed because even if all of that was stripped away and like Job, we lost everything, we would still have hope. And not a wishful thinking, boy, I hope maybe something will get better. It is a certainty, an assurance that God says to us, I am in control. The bill has been paid. The bike, so to speak, has been paid for. You know where you're going. Trust in that and it will help you to continue to move forward. During these turbulent times, we have an opportunity, and that is an opportunity to run to God, to soak in his word, and to look to him for the hope that will sustain us in the tough times and persevere us through the trials. To the point where people can see the difference and ask about it. And then we can share with them who our incredible God is. So let us ask God to make us aware of the white harvest fields, the many people around the world who live in despair and are yearning for hope, and maybe the people that live right here who are in the same boat, yearning for hope. God is giving us an opportunity through COVID, an opportunity to serve our neighbors, to live out our faith, and to show the world the difference that biblical hope makes in our lives. So we'll close with this benediction from Romans 15, 9 to 13, where it says this: As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. And again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would so fill us with your presence that the hope we have in you would overflow from us in peace and joy, so that people might see you in us and ask about the reason for that hope. And when they do, Lord, we ask that you would give us the wisdom to have just the right words to share with them so that they too can come to a relationship with you. We thank you for the hope that you paid for on the cross, hope that we can have of a future with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.